a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Greenhouse Show on KSL News Radio.
Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you, taking your calls, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Next listener would like to know, Ton, when's the best time to prune a red blazing maple?
So it's probably autumn blaze, and mid-January is actually the time that you prune those if you need to. Now, one thing with maples is that they don't like to be pruned after a couple of years in the ground. They can get internal rots if they're overly pruned, and so they need to be really careful and do minimal pruning. If they did it now, it would be okay, but the ideal time is mid-January.
Okay, Martin is on the line in Clinton. Good morning, Martin. What is your question?
Yeah, good morning. I got a question for you. When can I spray for spider mites? Because last year it killed 8 evergreens and 1 Alberta spruce.
Well, you could try a horticultural soap and start going after them, but because they overwinter in the plants, they have their eggs there. So you could try that, but you really need to watch closely. And during the summer, maybe get a hose out through June, July, August, and once a week, especially if they're not too big, and just spray them down really good with a stiff stream of water, because spider mites hate water.
Okay. Okay, we have a pine that's pretty tall, and we were just wondering about that one, too.
When it gets that tall, it becomes hard, because you like a horticultural soap, how do you get it up to the very top? I do suspect that there's something else other than spider mites in those. You more see spider mites in like Alberta spruce. You can get them, but there are some scale diseases, white pine needle scale and black pine needle scale, that will get in there. And I would maybe get some of the branches that are declining but still alive and take them to your extension office to have them look at them under a scope to see if they can find what's going on.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Thanks, Martin, for your call. Next listener, Ton, says they have sweet peas that they have planted. They have planted from seed. They're about 8 inches tall. They want to know when they can transplant those outside and should they set them outside to get a taste before they actually put them in the ground.
Well, the sweet peas don't like to be transplanted. They're usually planted from seed in the ground where you want them to grow. And so you can transplant them, but you've got to be super gentle and so that the roots aren't disturbed, because they just don't do well being transplanted if they're handled especially roughly. Mm-hmm. And so I would get them out, and when we're consistently in the 50s, I would plant them at that point. But if we get a day in the 50s, take them outside.
Okay. Mark is on the line in Salt Lake. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
What can we do for you?
First of all, I really appreciate your show. I listen to you every Saturday.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
And yes. And, first of all, I'm not a very good, I don't know about fruit trees, so I just planted some. But my wife is a lot better than me. She has a lot of indoor plants. We have lots of indoor plants. And I heard it's healthy for breathing, actually. But my question was, when should I start watering my? I have an apricot tree, or nectarine tree, apple tree, and a pear tree, and I planted them about 10 feet apart. I think that's enough space. And I just want to know. I mean, since the weather's getting warmer, when should I start? Maybe give them a little water. Or what?
You're going to have to test the ground moisture. So right now they're wet enough. And then with rain and snow next week, they're going to be fine. So generally late April, mid to late April into May is when the ground starts to dry out. And so all you'll need to do is just go out and get a piece of rebar with that's bent to a 90 degree angle or a long screwdriver. Go around the edge of the tree, edge of the root ball, and look at the soil and see how dry it is. Dig down, you know, 6 inches. And if it's dry, you know, 2 or 3 inches down, but then it starts to get wet again, you could maybe be able to hold off. But if those are, when did you plant them?
Last year, about August.
Okay, so last August. So they've had a chance to root out a bit. So they're probably going to need to be watered twice a week this year. And then next year, on their third year, maybe once a week deeply. But
yeah, I didn't want to water them. Yeah, I didn't want to water them too much.
No, don't do that. And so sometime between mid-April and early May, just depending on how wet we are and how wet we stay. But when you start to see the grass green up, we start getting into the 60s and 70s is when you want to start keeping an eye on them.
Yes. And I've noticed they actually have little buds. And that's good news, right?
Yes,
the little
is.
Buds.
Yep, those little, if the buds are that starting to swell, still, that's a great sign.
Still alive, and they're, it's mainly the roots, and they're still alive, right? They have little buds.
Yep, they're still probably, you know, pretty dormant, but over the next month or two as we warm up, they will leaf out and maybe flower. Pull all the fruit off this year.
I probably won't see any fruit. Or maybe
you may, if you do, pull it off when it's about the size of a pea, because you want those trees to get established with good branching and good roots. And if you let them produce fruit their first 3 years in the ground, you can really set a tree back.
Oh, so actually pull the fruit off. Huh?
Yep. After 3 years from the day it's planted. So this year, next year, pull the fruit off, and the year after you can start harvesting.
Yeah, I know. It takes time. I mean, they were pretty healthy trees. I bought them at Home Depot, and they actually had apples on them already. Then the squirrels.
Yeah.
squirrels
got them.
Stole them.
Yeah,
no,
that's all good. They did you a favor. So we really appreciate your call. And
you guys are good. You, I don't know how. I mean, I don't know how you know all this information, but I really appreciate your advice.
Thanks so much for your call today, Mark. We appreciate it as well. Next listener, Ton, says, can they still prune their burning bush? They say it was in the home when they bought it. It's about 15 years old, 6 feet tall, has leaves on the top 6 inches of it.
Yeah, they can prune them. Those things are actually quite durable.
Next listener says they're looking at planting a columnar ginkgo or paper bark maple.
Columnar ginkgo, that's the one I would use. Paper bark maples get borers in them.
But they're so pretty.
They are, but they're the day you plant them, they're kind of doomed. It might take 15 years.
What?
The ginkgo is...
So when did you become negative on paper bark maple?
It's just more practical. How's that? I love the tree. They're pretty.
See, I'm the one that loves the aesthetics, and you're the one that's the practical one.
I just know that unless they can find, and I don't even know if they exist, but the Asian white-barked birch species are resistant to bronze birch borer. And so if they could find one of those, then I would say go ahead and plant one. But if it's a European or American paper bark birch, I just wouldn't do it. The disadvantage to the ginkgo is that it is super slow growing. It may be 6 inches a year to a foot if you're lucky. And so the grandchildren will be enjoying that one. And so it is really slow, but it will survive. And to where the birch are native to places like Alaska, North Dakota, you know, Southern Canada, where it's cooler, wetter, and more humidity, and we just don't have the climate for them to survive long term. If they did want a birch, and it's not columnar, the best one for our area is actually western water birch. It's native and tolerates our alkaline soils, and it's adapted to low humidity. And I really like it because it only gets about 20 by 20. And so it's a little harder to find, but if they wanted a birch, western water birch is the one that I would recommend.
All right. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. Phone lines are open. You can also text us at 57500.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andrea Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you, taking your calls and questions. Next listener, Ton, says, what are your thoughts about a trellis for cucumbers? Would they do well? They're trying to conserve some space.
Yeah, they'll do fine. They'll need
Don't
to train
break
them
off
up.
The vine, though?
No, the cucumbers develop a stronger stem.
Okay.
So, yeah, they'll do fine. The hog panels. So you, depending on the space you have, you can usually pick up hog panels, a couple of them for under $100. They're 10 feet long and I think 5-6 feet high.
Mm-hmm.
And you turn them into an inverted V shape. So they're kind of in a triangle shape, and then just clip them together with wire, and you can run green beans and you can run cucumbers. A lot of the melons you can run up, but that's an inexpensive way if you want something more permanent. They'll last for several years.
All right. Brian is on the line in West Jordan. Good morning, Brian. What is your question?
Hey, I got a question for Ton. I just thought I'd chime into his green thumb expertise here. I live in West Jordan, and I've got a pretty big yard, about 0.25 acres. And I've noticed the last few years my grass, my lawn, is really, really lumpy. And I have my suspicions of like voles and stuff, but I can't find any evidence of such. Is there anything I can do to flatten that out, like without having to spend a ton of money with an expert coming out?
So is it lumpy because you have a different species of grass that's growing higher, or is it lumpy because of soil?
It's the soil. I walk on it. It's like spraining my ankle. It's really, really lumpy front and back.
So,
and none of my neighbors have the same problem.
Then is your yard, has it been driven on a lot or like four-wheelers, anything like that?
No, nothing like that.
Okay. And do you aerate?
Every other year, maybe.
I would probably aerate. West Jordan can have some fairly clay soil. So I would aerate at least every spring and maybe every spring and fall to help just keep the soil loose. But I mean, short term, if it is the soil and it's just like little divots, you know, rises and peaks, almost like little miniature moguls all over the lawn, you can get for a mower a dethatching blade. And we don't
I tried that and it didn't seem to work. I'm sorry.
Did you set it pretty low?
Yeah, and I'm wondering if I damaged the roots because it's like really thinning out as well. And
it would temporarily damage the lawn, but over 3 or 4 weeks it would come back. And the only other thing I would know to do is like increase aeration, but then you can get sand and everywhere, and this is going to be tedious, but everywhere you have a divot, start filling them with sand. And see if you can level it that way. And just you do a quarter of an inch once a month, or you could use your native soil if you had extra soil and just let it dry out and then put it down. But just slowly just start filling them in. You know, it may go away a little bit with summer and just walking and things as the soil thaws out. But those are about the only things I know. Otherwise, it's starting over to where you have to undercut everything, you know, maybe with a sod cutter, re-level it, and lay new sod and try to use what you have. There's really no good solution.
Would it be possible, like, night crawlers? And so that's what I've heard from some other people trying to maybe give an idea, but I haven't noticed a lot of worms around.
It could be, and that's why I was asking if the soil was compacted, because if night crawlers were doing it, it's because they can't penetrate very deeply into the soil, and so they surface and make those, but you would see little mounds that they make with a hole in the middle of them. And so it may be worth doing a soil test just to get your soil texture. To find out if it is like a loamy clay or a clay, I would really aerate at least once a year, maybe twice a year, and that would help a bit, at least prevent further clumps from forming. But, you know, it's how to get rid of it is the hard part.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I appreciate your help. We'll start with that.
All right, Brian, thanks so much for your call this morning. Next listener, Ton, says, can they prune lilacs right now?
Can, but they'll lose a lot of the flowers. It's
you
best
don't want
to
prune
wait
until after.
Until mid to late April when they're done blooming, and then as soon as they're done, prune them.
All right. Joyce is on the line in Springville. Good morning, Joyce. We have just a couple of minutes. What is your question?
My question is, I have a tree. I think it was a bush that came with my house. It has now grown so it's taller than the deck. I don't know what it is. It has little tiny yellow flowers, but they are in like a cone shape, and they're about an inch and a half tall. What is it? Smells beautiful. Has sweets, this sweet, and the bees love it. And when shall I prune it?
Is it blooming now?
No. It probably won't bloom for another month.
I don't know off the top of my head, maybe forsythia, but those usually don't have a fragrance. What I would need you to do is take some pictures and email the pictures to gardenhelp@usu.edu.
Okay, let me write that down. Garden Help, all small letters.
Yeah, all small letters, one word, gardenhelp@usu.edu.
EDU, thank you. It's beautiful. I want to keep it. It reminds me of a lilac, except it's yellow. And
yeah, lilacs don't get yellow flowers, and it blooms in the spring or the summer?
Spring. It will bloom in about another month.
Yeah, I was wondering if it was maybe a witch hazel or something like that, but email some pictures over.
I'll do that. You said it could be a witch. I've been looking online. I can't find it.
Yeah, and that's why we need pictures, and we should be able to quickly identify it.
Yeah.
As soon as it blooms, I will email pictures.
Perfect. Check out the witch hazel, too, see if that looks like it.
I'm going to, because that might be what it is. It is wonderful, and I love it, but it's getting too tall.
All right.
Has a central leader that's about 2.5-3 inches now across, and then has many little shoots on the side. So it may be a tree.
Yeah, it very well could be. Email some pictures over.
I will. Thank you so much.
All right, Joyce, thanks for your call. Next person says, do we need to get Rose of Sharon pruned sooner or later?
Sooner. It's time to prune it. It blooms off new growth, and if you prune it, you get more flowers in the summer.
Okay, we only have a couple minutes. We're going to take Zal's call. I'm living dangerously. Good morning, Zal. What is your question?
Hello. I have about a 15-year-old peach tree that on one of the four main branches, the bark is coming off. It's got a little more deadness to it, but not completely. Anything I can do about that or what's causing it?
Well, are you seeing any gumming on the branches?
A little, yes.
You could have Cytospora or Pseudomonas in it. What I would have you do is take some pictures of it and email them over to Sheridan Hansen at USU. I'm Sheridan's our extension agent in Kaysville. And it's Sheridan is Sheridan dot Hansen, Hansen at USU.edu. But I suspect maybe Pseudomonas or Cytospora is in there causing that. There could be some borers in there too, but greater peach tree borer and Pseudomonas and Cytospora are the major causes. And if it is one of those, the only way to get it out of those diseases is to prune it out.
prune it out.
Yeah, but email those pictures over to Sheridan.
All right. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks so much for your call. We're not going to have time for you for us to take Michael's call, but Michael and Ogden wanted to know the best time to aerate his lawn.
Sometime in mid-May, or late April to mid-May.
Okay, and that's even with all the wet
weather.
It's
going to be, you know, if it's still wet, you might have to wait a few more weeks, but the general timing is when the lawn is growing its fastest in the spring is when you aerate.
Okay. A lot of people suffering from snow mold this year, including Utah and maybe me.
Yeah, lots of snow mold out there. So that's going to be your 10 o'clock topic.
Right. So coming up following the top of the hour news, that is what we're going to be talking about. That is snow mold. If you're just tuning into the show and you missed our earlier comments, you can always catch us on the podcast at kslnewsradio.com. And the number to call with your questions when we get back, it's 801-575-8255.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.